It is Tuesday, August 16. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you. If you're just tuning in, Liverpool and Crystal Palace finished 1-1 at Anfield this morning. So that's two draws to start the season for Liverpool. Just this text on the Calum Ponga Kurt Mann video. Hey boys, I'm with Clarkey. Whoever videoed Ponga is an absolute goose, but bad form from Ponga. It was Saturday arvo. The side hadn't even played in Brisbane that night. We are struggling with recruitment as it is. This won't help. And the club investigating, of course, that video that emerged of Ponga and Kurt Mann leaving a toilet cubicle together. But Kalen's father, Andre, he's told News Corp, he made an exciting house purchase on Saturday, did Kalen. And he celebrated with his mates. He was sick in the toilet and his mate went in to help him. So we'll see what comes of all this, but no doubt the optics aren't great for the Newcastle Knights.
I've said my piece.
You're accusing Andre Ponga of fibbing.
I actually can't remember exactly what I said this morning at about 6 o'clock, but I'm not going to try again.
Looking forward to Dennis Bullfrog Richie's response to this.
I can't wait to speak. Are we speaking to Denny today?
Denny's
can't
after
wait
eight.
To speak to Denny. Yeah. Give me his words, not mine. I've said my piece. Oh, dear.
And Latrell Mitchell didn't finish training with the Bunnies yesterday. They got Penrith in a grand final rematch Thursday night. So he was icing his groin. And South favourite for that game against Penrith. They're $1.65 with tab. The Panthers, $2.25. The Eels, they got the Bulldogs, who touched them up back on the June long weekend earlier this year. Morning, Gutho.
Good morning, men. How are we?
Yeah, pretty good for a Tuesday, mate. And no doubt you and your teammates have been searching for some answers since Friday night. What have you come up with as the catalyst for that result so far?
Yeah, we did our review yesterday, got back in the train, and then had a look at it. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't what we wanted to be watching. But, look, there's a lot of things that we need to fix. And they just beat us at our game off the kickoff and went straight through the middle of us. And that's what we pride ourselves on, our tough through the middle. And we didn't turn up with the right attitude there. And obviously a great team like that in good form, we're going to touch you up. And that's what they did to us. But we reviewed it, got what we needed out of it, and moved forward now.
Geez, I was disappointed, Gutho. I've been riding you blokes all year and thinking that you'll win the comp. And I'm just about to jump off. Tell me, don't jump off yet.
No, definitely not yet. Still a long way to go. Three more weeks in the season and see what happens there. And look, it's disappointing the way we turned up on the weekend. And after two great performances, it's probably happened a little bit too much this year. That like that, it's two good games and then absolute shocker. But look, we're still fighting. We're still working hard to try and fix the problem. And as I said, three more weeks and then we can see what happens.
Your coach, Brad Arthur, said there was just no physicality, that you were too tentative. I mean, how personally have the players taken that? And do you put that on each other? In your review, do you sort of, really ask questions of each other? Because I can only imagine, that to be told that by your coach is quite confronting.
Yeah, the middle took it very personally. We had a pretty honest review session yesterday and we watched the first set and they rolled us 65 metres and put a good ball kick up. So obviously to start the game, that's not a good set to go and sort of just snowballed from there. But our middles really took that personally, what Brad said. And look, hopefully it creates a bit of spark and they can come out this weekend. And as you just said, the Bulldogs touched us up earlier in the year and we need to go out there with a bit of bit of pride and go after the game.
So how do you go into finals footy with the uncertainty around what para team's going to show up? Because I feel like we've sat here with you, 20 times this year, and I know what it's like also being in the players' situation where you train well, your preparation's good, you feel like you do everything the same, yet come game day, it's like, man, what just happened? How did we get bowled out for 100 where 2 days ago we made 450? But sometimes you just don't know the answer. But how do you take that as the leader into finals footy and feel confident?
Yeah, exactly. That's the frustrating thing. We train, as you said, we train really well all week. We think we're going to go out there and just put in a great performance. And We turn up to the game, everyone's confident, and then you walk off the field and say, yeah, exactly, how did that happen? But look, it's something we've been trying to figure out for a while now, and we need to figure it out quickly because, as you said, it's coming up to the to the business end with only three rounds left. And look, we have to be ready to go. We have to come out this weekend and start. And it's still just taking a week in, week out. But look, we have to turn up. Soon there's not going to be a second chance or another week.
They're a dangerous footy side at the back, and they have been for the last few months, Gutho. I mean, they did touch up early in the season, but they can score from anywhere. So defensively, you're going to have to be on song.
Yeah, exactly. They've sort of got nothing to lose at the moment, and that's shown in their footy. Even the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been in it to about 15, 20 minutes to go, and other teams have just sort of scored a couple of late ones. But we're wary of what they're going to bring, and they're going to be full of confidence to what they did to us last game. And as I said, we have to go out there after what Brad said about our team and our middles. It's as I said, hopefully a little bit of a flame, and they take it personally. And after our review yesterday, we can sort of look each other in the eyes and go out there and put in a good game.
Just remind Reed Barney who he's playing for this week. But seriously,
slap. I want to see if he kisses the badge when he scores again. Kiss that para badge. love it. The old Dougie Bollinger, go the wrong side. Remember Dougie went to kiss the Aussie coat of arms and got the VB logo?
I think that's what he did last time versus two. That's why we lost.
But seriously, what a loss he's going to be for you.
Yeah, he's been great for us. Obviously, debuted here a few years ago, and he's going to be a massive loss. But look, he's just a competitor. He'll go out on the weekend and do what he needs to do. And his head's still here at the moment. It's not like he's looking too far forward. And you can see in his performances when things aren't going right, he tries his ass off every game. And that's what we need from Reedy. It's going to be a big loss, but hopefully we've still got a fair few games left for this.
Not that he's going to say solve all your problems, but is Mitch Moses likely to play this weekend?
I think he's pushing for it. I think he has to see the surgeon or get a last clearance or something like that in the next couple of days. But he's definitely working hard and pushing towards this week. And look, hopefully he's a quality player, and hopefully we can have him back on the field.
How do you practice for those massive bombs that are coming your way from Burton, buddy?
I don't know. Not many can put them up in our team.
My God.
It's probably half the size, but look, I think we handled them pretty well last game, and it's just about backing yourself. You just go in and be confident, attack the ball, and if you drop one, you drop one. But he puts them up from anywhere, so he's hitting torpies from his own 20-metre line that goes 70 metres. So he's got to be ready for it and take the challenge head on.
What do you do there, Gutho? And I always found, regardless of whether it's the big torp, and again, I wasn't a fullback, but the time that I played a couple of games at fullback, the in-between kick, the in-between the winger and the fullback.
Yours?
Oh, yeah, and you're unsure. I can only imagine when you're unsure, but that type of bomb's coming at you.
Yeah, it's a bit, as you said, when he hits them perfectly and they're sort of floating up there and you don't know where it's going to land. And I like just taking it on. I'll yell out pretty early and go after the ball. And as I said, you'd rather be confident and go after it and drop it that way than let it bounce, because you never know where the bouncing ball's going to go. And you just got to back yourself. I'll back myself all the time and just go after it.
Did you play fullback?
A couple of times, yeah.
Haven't you heard his fullback story?
I played against PNG.
Papua New Guinea, yeah, when he refused to catch it. Could hear the footsteps. Ran the other way.
They were charging at me, and I knew that
tough
I was going to
daily. He was tough back in the day. Don't worry about that.
I'd always blame the winger. I'd say, mate, it split us. Hey, I didn't know. I didn't know whether the winger wanted it.
I was the opposite to Gutho in cricket. If it went up, it was like Gillies or Hads. Anyone with gloves on, it's yours. Get me out of there. No way was I going for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a coward. I'm telling you, if you play PNG and you're fullback, they're coming after you.
13 Justin Ollams coming out.
Yeah, 13 Justin Ollams. There you go.
Gutho, how's your body? Again, big season. How do you feel, obviously getting closer to the finals as well, personally?
Yeah, my body's actually feeling really good. Probably the best it's been in a few years at this time of the year. And it's just about maintenance and staying on top of it. And probably get a little bit older, so after sessions, you've got to do a bit more recovery. And just all the little things sort of add up at this time of year. And Yeah, as I said, I'm feeling really good, which is a massive bonus. And obviously get your hits and everything after the games. But just being able to go every week, this is when you want to be playing. And these are the games you want to be playing in. You don't want to miss them just from a little niggle or something like that.
All right, I've just found 4 minutes 17 of highlights of a 1991 match between PNG and Australia. So
I'm going to go sit on the table and watch it as well.
Gutho, thanks so much, mate. And good luck against the Dogs this week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
And Clint Gutherson there. The market with Tab has Para $1.36. So they're 8.5-point favourites at the line. The Dogs $3.20, although the Dogs touched up by the Warriors the other day. Although 34-4 back in June.
And I can't believe that scoreline now you said it.
Well, since then, the Dogs have got better, you'd have to say, considerably, except obviously having a poor result there for them on the weekend.
Yeah,
traveling to New Zealand's tough.
Short turnaround as well. They didn't have too long to prepare for that game. And the Warriors, their form being back at home has been pretty good.
Honestly, the stuff you find on YouTube, seriously. We're just watching these highlights of Australia and the Papua New Guinea back in 1991. Laws like just human kamikaze mission. What's going on? Seriously, the weather's unbelievable. This is not the game we're thinking that you might have played fullback.
No, it was in Townsville.
Okay, right. Oh, that's a shame.
I don't know what year it was.
That's a shame.
So it would have been early 90s because Gary Belcher went to the wing, I think.
92, Jono tells me.
92, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Townsville.
Okay. I'll go searching. Give us a call, 1353-53. Morning, Shane.
Hey, Mido. Hey, boys. How are you?
Good,
hey,
Shane.
I was just about to go for a jog.
lie.
Fellas, first up, Clarky.
Yes, buddy.
Thanks, buddy, for David Nofaluma.
Oh, yeah, I know. I did see that when I was away. Oh, man, Tigers. We like to let him go. That's
much
for sure.
Appreciate it. Look, can we get Munster goes as Dolphins? Can we get Dewey or Hastings?
You're only going to say please, mate. Sounds like we'll be happy to help out.
Thanks, buddy. Fellas, I watched the Titans Manly game. What's the body language between Jake and all the boys and the Silent Seven? There is no body language. Jake's barking out orders. You've virtually got two separate teams playing. It has driven a wedge into this Manly side. And I don't know what they're going to do to turn around. But you've got to admit, is it enjoyable watching Manly tear themselves apart?
Well, Jake's out for the season now, by the way, as well. Broken hand. So
what they need
at this point in time.
I mean, the next 3 weeks could get real ugly.
Man.
It's fun, isn't it? Rugby league's in a great place when Manly struggle. It's just sensational.
It's funny with Manly because, like, as a North fan, that Manly team of the 90s, you just hate it. You really, unless you're a Manly fan, of course. But I don't look at this Manly team like that. They're not as hateable as they used to be.
Oh, they used to be. Yeah. Yeah.
With Hopper and all.
Terry. Terry Hill.
I've never hated Man. Like, my grandmother used to support him, so I've never hated. Remember I said, what would have been last year or the year before, I said, my old man was a Magpie supporter and he never hated Manly. Mate, I looked at my phone about 5 minutes later and my old man messaged me going, how dare you? They're my most hated team. I was like,
your old man.
Whoa, rightio.
Right in the middle of that rivalry.
He hates Manly, but I've never... I don't know. We had a great rivalry
with Manly when we were playing back in the 90s, but only because they were a good side.
Yeah.
And we got beaten by them in a grand final in 1987. So we had great rivalry with Manly and the Broncos. But yeah, a lot of supporters hate them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, Shane, that was the point of this phone call. Just to
hate on Manly.
To ring up and describe your glee of Manly's predicament.
It's sensational. Mido, the worst type of supporter is a bloke that followed the Bears and now follows Manly.
No, I don't follow Manly. No. Let me make that clear. I've got a couple of Bears mates who now do follow Manly, and it is never a topic of conversation because of my absolute disgust in their life choices. So that does not happen, I promise you.
All right, good on you, boy. Listen, bring in the Perth Bears sooner than later, boy.
Well, what about Storm? They win in the GF or what, Shano?
We're back, baby.
Yeah, I reckon you are too. I've been telling Loz for a couple of months now. Don't write them off.
No. Well, mate, you had more confidence in them than me, Clarkey, because I'd written them off a few weeks ago, but I don't know what Bellamy's done. He's sprinkled some magic dust, and it's, I don't know. I mean, this new deal they're doing with Munster switching with Meaney in and out of 5-8, it's looking like a masterstroke at the moment. Mm. It will be a miracle, but I'm just happy Manly are gone. That's my main one.
Good on you, Shane. Oh, thanks for the call as always. Yeah, the Storm $7.50 into $5.50 after their win against Penrith.
Oh, I don't know if I like them to win, but I like them in the GF.
We've got Andrew. G'day, Andrew.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Mate, not too bad on a Tuesday yourself.
Oh, not too bad. Driving up the valley. Good day.
What have you got for us this morning?
Just a couple of things on the Ponga. I think you guys touched on the whole Ponga situation, on how bad it looks and the look of it, and he just can't do it, what he's doing. But on the whole value for money, like, I live in Newcastle, I follow the Roosters. I'm from Sydney and that, but they up here, they love their footy team. They turn up every week and they expect an effort.
Yeah.
You get 22,000 people in a stadium and they're losing every week. That's commitment. And all they want is effort. And you see that's not effort. Mm. Like, you look at Tedesco, he's getting paid almost the same money as Ponga. And look at what Teddy does to the rest. Every week he shows up. You never see him in the papers. He always puts in, you know, he plays his best for the Roosters, then to New South Wales, then Australia. It doesn't matter what jersey he wears, he puts in.
Well, I know some Newcastle fans, diehards, who are losing patience big time with Kalyn Ponga. Is that the sense you're starting to get? I know up there, obviously, very popular with particularly young people, but are you getting the sense that some people are starting to turn?
Yeah, they wanted Munster to come. When I heard Munster might have come to Newcastle, a little inkling ages ago, they were like, get rid of Ponga and find someone else. They didn't want him there.
Yeah, interesting. Andrew, appreciate the call, mate. There you go. So,
yeah. See, I think Ponga's another example of the best player doesn't make the best leader or the best captain. You know, Ponga's got a bit of that. He's that X factor player that, to me, you want him in your team because he can win your game on his own. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's the right guy to captain your club or lead your team. I think your best leader is your best leader. Not your best player, and maybe this is something that Newcastle have to think about. He might be better off just being that, you know, X factor player that plays his natural game and does his thing, not actually is the one driving the club's values and the direction they want to go.
Yeah, they need strong leaders.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got your best player and he's the leader and he's doing stuff against club policy, that's not right. You know, the problem is...
Do they give him the leadership to keep? Like, you know, again, yeah, 2 months ago, we're talking about, is he leaving, is he staying? Well, have they done that to keep him?
It's all sort of changed. Like, when we were playing, you could get away with it, all right? But nowadays, players are on $1 million a year. It's a professional sport. The expectations are high. And if you want to have a professional organisation, professional team, you've got to have leadership where you can hold everyone to account.
Yeah.
You've got to have people to be able to talk to your best player and say, mate, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's the wrong thing. And you've got to be able to look him in the eye and tell him that you've done the wrong thing, you've stuffed up. And again,
but is the coach not dragging him in today or yesterday to have that conversation with him?
Yeah, but
surely.
Well, he would be, but it's too late.
What you'd like to think is that you shouldn't have to tell your captain
you
that.
You would like to think that after the injuries that he's had...
I understand that.
He shouldn't be out drinking. Yeah, he shouldn't be out on the Saturday afternoon when his team's playing on Saturday night.
Yeah, I understand
with
that.
With a skinful.
Yeah.
If he's going to do it at home, and then no one sees it. I mean, it's just the optics just aren't great. That's the thing. It just doesn't look great what he's done.
Here's a thought. What would Craig Bellamy do behind closed doors if he was the coach? Could you imagine?
Well, you know what? That is a good example because look at his two best players. Mate, we're having this conversation about Munster and
Brandon Smith
last year. So, again, don't sit there. This is the part that I hate where we go, oh, culture, culture, culture. Okay, we sit here and say Craig Bellamy's, if he's not the best coach ever, he's up there. Yet his culture had distractions last year as well. Two biggest fish in the pond. You know, so it happens everywhere in all sports, and all players, age, no matter what it is, make mistakes. What I'm saying, no coincidence, Munster's not captain of Melbourne, is he? Brandon Smith's not captain of Melbourne, is he? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're two of their best players. That's my point with Ponga. You might be the best player in the team. Doesn't mean you're the right guy to lead the club.
By the way, Shane, a lot of Manly fans are texting in, and I can pretty much read none of them. Just defending their club after your call, that's all. 1-1 Liverpool and Crystal Palace at Anfield this morning in the Premier League. Wilfred Zaha put Palace ahead. Then Darwin Nunes was sent off for a headbutt. And then 5 minutes later, Liverpool equalised through Luis Diaz. They dominated possession but just couldn't get the winner, the Red. So they've started the season with two draws. Palace have had a loss and a draw, two games in. Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Loz, there's a big story down south in the AFL which could have some repercussions for GWS here in Sydney. Essendon is a club in turmoil at the moment after an 84-point loss to Port Adelaide on Sunday. They're 15th on the ladder, 7 wins, 14 losses. Their president has stood down. The club's announced in an external review. Coach Ben Rutten, he's barely holding on. But it could be a blow for GWS because all reports in the Herald Sun and in the Melbourne media are that now Essendon will chase Alistair Clarkson. And if you're Alistair Clarkson, the prestige of Essendon is going to be hard to hold out because they are a massive club there in Victoria.
I can't believe it's taken them this long. I think that he should have been approached weeks ago. Hopefully he hasn't done a deal with North Melbourne yet if you're an Essendon supporter because they're a massive club. They've got huge membership. They've got plenty of money and their playing list is very good. You know, they should have possibly been playing finals this year. They should be going a lot better than what they're going at the moment. They got beaten by 80-something points on the weekend against Port Adelaide. And Alistair Clarkson, I think he would be attracted to the Essendon job. But obviously, he's deep in discussions with North Melbourne. And they're believed to be offering him a 5-year term on around $1.6 million a year. So Essendon would be able to match that. And they're a big club and they're a very good team. And it wouldn't be as long, long time building that squad to getting it to a semi-final and challenging for a premiership. I think North Melbourne is probably a number of years away, whereas you look at Essendon, you probably think two or three, they could be challenging for a comp. So this will be enticing for him, but the problem will be the time frame and whether he's agreed or not with North Melbourne.
Mm. Well, GWS had, I think, 4 or 5 meetings with Clarkson. So it appears now they're probably choice 3 or pretty much out of the race, which is a massive blow for the Giants.
Mm. They're talking about now Adam Uzay, the assistant at Melbourne, being the number one contender there, and McVay is likely to miss out on that position. And they've had some improvements under McVay. But they probably want to go for a more experienced assistant coach in Adam Uzay. So he looks as though he might be the one that's going to take the GWS Giants job next season. But if you're a Bombers fan, you'd be excited about the prospect of Alistair Clarkson going there and turning the great club around.
We've got Sean on the line. Morning, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are we today?
No, not too bad. You?
Not bad, mate. Mate, just want a bit of background for myself first. I struggled a lot when I was a teenager with mental health issues. I buried a lot of mine with alcohol, and I've been sober for now 6.5 years, which I'm very proud of.
Good on you. Great stuff.
But I think we don't do enough in the NRL to make this awareness. And I come up with an idea, I don't know if you guys agree or not, but I think every club should have, are you okay on their jersey? Now, if that's every week that is out there, the message is out there every week without having the rounds that we do, which we can't squeeze in sometimes, at least the awareness will still be there with clubs. Now, I can't see why they can't have I know there's a lot of sponsors on jerseys nowadays, and maybe a sleeve which says, "Are you okay?" I can't see why we can't do something like that for the people that have problems with mental health issues.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with you there, Sean. I think the more awareness, the better, and it's something that we are continually struggling with, men in particular, to talk about issues that they're facing and the challenges that are at hand. And obviously everyone knows someone that's been affected by mental health, and yep. If rugby league wanted to take the lead, they possibly could. How much impact that would make, I'm unsure. But the more we talk about it, the more we see it, and the more we respect the situation that everyone is in, and the more we encourage everyone to talk about it. And yep, and tell people that there's options out there rather than the options that you're thinking about taking. There's always people there to help and discuss issues with you. But that's an idea, and I'm sure the NRL would be thinking of ways that we can help, you know, stop people doing what they've done in the past and taking their lives. Because
yep, 100%, mate.
If you lose one, that's way too many.
That's way too many, mate. Exactly right, bud.
But well done to you, mate. Well done to you for doing what you've done. And you're in a better place for it, no doubt about
mate,
that.
100%, mate. My life's changed for the million percent better, you know, but that's all good, mate. So, yeah, if you can get it out there more, why not, mate? The more we promote mental health, especially for men and women, it goes to both.
Yep.
Yep. But as guys, you know, we don't talk about stuff. We tend to bottle it up and you're weak if you talk about stuff. You're not weak, mate. It's the best thing to talk about it, but without a shadow of a doubt.
No, great stuff. Sean, appreciate the call, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We have Brian. Morning, Brian.
Morning, boys. Just well done to Sean, too. Previous yep. caller.
No, good stuff, Brian.
Mate, just want to touch on the Caelan Ponga issue.
Go
Why
for it.
Haven't the police investigated the bloke filming in a toilet? Now, if that was a lady getting filmed in a toilet, there'd be a bigger uproar than anything. You're in a private place. I thought we had laws against filming in toilets.
Well, I guess it was technically not in the toilet, as if they were walking out of the toilet and they were in the bathroom. So, you know, I don't know exactly what the law is in that regard, but the filming has... Well, the film bit I saw was Ponga and Mann walking out of the cubicle back into the bathroom, wasn't directly into the toilet as such. But I understand what you're trying to say, Brian, but I'm only going
by... It had a caption on there that was blurred out as well from whoever took the video.
Oh, it was, something you put on social media.
Yeah. I just think it's wrong. It doesn't care who you are, whether you're a Neville Nobody or a superstar. It doesn't matter. I just think filming in the toilet's wrong.
Yeah, well, Clarkey made his...
Yeah, I hate it.
Thoughts known earlier this morning.
I reckon anyone sticking their mobile phone or their camera, like it's a setup. It's a massive setup. I don't even know, is it a security guard or the owner of the pub, or whoever it is, that's asked them to get out of the cubicle? Obviously, there's a person standing there waiting for this to happen and got it all on camera. Like, to me, that's scum. I hate that. And it's not taking anything away from... You know, if the boys are doing the wrong thing and if they shouldn't be drinking, they're injured and who knows what they're doing in the cubicle, it's not taking any away from that. But whoever sits there or stands there and thinks, you know what, I'm going to set these blokes up and then I'm going to make sure I get it on camera, then I'm going to send it to Alpha, send it to make it front page news. Matt, I'd like to know that person's name. I'd like to know how squeaky clean their life is.
Let's name them.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put their name on the front of the paper.
100%. If you're going to put it out there, back yourself.
Yeah, I hate it.
Good on you, Brian. Thank you.
See you, boys.
Now, the other story in regards to, I'm just moving on from Newcastle, Penrith. So their chief executive, Brian Fletcher, told News Corp, "We trust the bloke in regards to Cameron Serraldo, isn't concerned that they're going to poach off-contract players to Canterbury." And when you look at them, Steve Crichton, can talk to other clubs from November 1. Brian To'o, Liam Martin, Spencer Lenu. There's others as well. from November 1, you look at someone like Crichton in particular, he wants to play fullback. Mm-hmm. So
he wants to play there with Dylan Edwards the way he's playing.
Exactly. So he wants to go and get fullback money. It's going to be hard for Canterbury would love, yeah. I'm sure, well, a again, fullback. But Jake Avrilla's sort of developing
even
there.
If Penrith don't win the competition this year, their players are still going to be worth a lot more money than what they're on now. So they're probably not going to keep them all. And a perfect fit for Stephen Crichton, if he wants to play fullback, because there's a position open there, would be to go to the Bulldogs. And he's got that relationship with Cameron Seraldo. But again, if players are off contract, then you're not doing your due diligence as a coach of another club. If you've got a vacancy on your roster and you've got money available in your salary cap to go and target a good player, just because you coached at that previous club, that doesn't stop you, or shouldn't stop you, for going having conversations with him to see whether he's interested about going to your organisation. You just can't, because you're an assistant, get a head coaching job somewhere else and say, well, I don't want to touch their players.
No, and I think there's the right way to do it.
Yeah, there's exactly a right way right. to do yeah, it. I mean, you'd be respectful, make yeah. a phone call, yeah. listen, he's off contract, yeah. I'm interested, I'm going to speak to him. So everyone's above
Trent
board.
Trent Barrett was in the exact same situation, yeah. and I think Ivan Cleary at that stage said exactly the same about Trent, that, you know, obviously there was conversations with certain players, yeah. but it was done at the right time, yeah. in front of everyone, not behind closed doors, yeah. secret, as they say, poaching. Yeah, it was actually done the right way.
If you're still there coaching and you're having yarns about taking
different
someone
yeah.
to the Bulldogs with you when you leave, or yeah. in 12 months' time, mate, wink, wink, nudge, yeah. come with me, yeah, that'd be wrong.
Yeah,
And you'd be entitled to be filthy at that. But I think once you get to that club, and you put your feet under the desk.
Nah, fine, I can play.
And
on.
If you've got a relationship with the previous club, you just make that phone call and say, mate, I believe he's off contract.
You'd imagine,
we're going to make a play for him.
Yeah, you'd imagine someone like Cameron Serrato would actually speak to Ivan Cleary openly
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, I reckon that's play on.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, if I'm Cameron Serrato, I'm now fresh, feet under the desk at the Bulldogs. I'm looking at my squad going, gee, I'd love to have him at fullback. Oh, geez, at my old club, the Panthers, you 100% got to make that phone call. I'm just thinking with Craig Fitzgibbon at the Sharks, I don't think he's, because he had a similar sort of, gentleman's
Definitely.
Agreement yeah. with the Roosters mm. after leaving there. I don't think he's taken anyone from the Roosters yet.
Not yet. Igavalu came from the yeah. Roosters, but I think he was off contract. But there
you'd
hasn't
be
been a big
to wipe
name
yourself
player.
From a club, though.
But again, if someone becomes available at your ex-club and you've got a position vacant and you've got the money to spend to recruit him, you're going to make a play for him.
Because I think Crichton's going to be interesting, though, because I think Crichton may want to go. Because, like you say, Dylan Edwards is there. He's not going anywhere. The difference between centre money and fullback money is significant, isn't it, Loss?
Oh, most definitely. Fullbacks are so important to your structure, your footy team.
So if he wants to go...
Again, just do it out in the open, though. Don't do it, you know, Chinese whispers or behind closed doors. Like, actually be open about it.
I don't see the issue.
Have
there
the conversation openly
the
and honestly.
Club.
And I think that's two coaches that do have respect for each other, just being straight up about it.
Yeah. And they'd understand. They'd understand. I mean, Ivan Cleary's been at the Warriors. He's been at the Tigers.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows how it works and how it operates. If you've got a position available, you've got salary cap space to make it happen, just because you've been at a club previous to that doesn't mean you can't talk to them.
Brad Davidson coming up shortly to break down what occurred last weekend at Rose Hill, and Group 1 racing returns to Royal Randwick on Saturday. The first Group 1 of the season, the Winx Stakes, all in markets are there with TAB. And for the Winx Stakes, you got Enemo at $2.50, Forbidden Love $4.50, last year's winner Mwanga at $5, Fangirl is $11 along with Cascadia, and also Hinged and Profondo all at $11 there, and some great noms for the Winx Stakes. You got the Silver Shadow as part of the Princess Series as well there on Saturday at Randwick. And Brad Davidson's joining us now. G'day, Brad.
Morning, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Going back to Rose Hill on Saturday and the Rosebud. Well, spacewalk threw it away.
It did, no doubt about that. Late in the concluding stages there, and Zuccarino was able to take advantage of that to get the job done. I said it last week, guys, the Rosebud's generally the second tier of these three-year-olds coming back, and the times probably suggested that as well. Nothing outstanding on the clock by any means. So, look, I think the winner's a decent enough horse, but I think in terms of the big features, we still might be waiting to see the better ones coming back in the next few weeks.
What about Surefire, Davo? Brilliant return.
Yeah, it was a great return, wasn't it, Loz? Definitely helped by that a strong speed up in front set by Titanium Power. Didn't look like a race with a stack of speed, but Titanium Power worked a little bit early and then kept the revs up right throughout. But it looks a really promising horse, this Surefire, no doubt about that. Looks to be a nice stayer, and the fact it's able to win first up over that sort of distance suggests that it's nice and sharp. It's got that turn of speed that we need in staying races later on in the spring. And yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to go for later on, but there's definitely plenty of options for this gallop. I love the way it finished off, and the money was there as well. It suggested it'd be hard to beat and was well supported, and didn't let those punters down who backed or supported that horse on the weekend.
Now, Frumos was a heavily debated ride, I guess, on Saturday. Take us through it.
Yeah, there's a lot of criticism, wasn't there, on social media, and that's generally the case when a short price favourite gets rolled a lot of the times and not able to get a crack of them. Look, it was there for all to see. Bowman went back from the wide gate, back to the rail, and the horse got held up the entire straight and couldn't get a crack at him and was beaten 4.5 lengths, but I think it's fair to say probably if it gets out, wins the race, or at least goes very, very close. So Stewart's grilled Bowman around the ride. My views on it are that I don't think there's anything wrong with it personally. I know you'd be frustrated if you backed it, being held up the entire straight for sure, but this horse is always going to go back from the wide draw, and I actually think that Bowman did the right thing by finding the rail, because if you look prior to that, the four winners prior to that race were all on the rail, and I think 8 out of 10 on the day were on the rail. It's generally the case when this rail goes out 6 or 7 metres at Rose Hill. If you're not on the rail, you're at a massive disadvantage. So I think Bowman did the right thing. It's not easy to find the rail from the outside barrier, but he did that. But then it was just a case of everything race tight. He couldn't really get out of that position. Maybe you could argue at the top of the straight he could have been trying to get a bit wider, but I think he was forced inside by a couple of runners to his outside there, and it meant that he just had to wait for the gaps to open, and they didn't. So I would have been more disappointed in a rider had they drawn, say, a low gate on the day and not had the and not thought about finding the rail. To me, that's more disappointing than a jockey finding the right part of the track and then not able to get out of it. Because, like I said, on certain days at Rose Hill or certain days at Canterbury, if you're not on that rail, you are maybe a 2 to 3 length disadvantage, and Saturday was definitely a massive advantage to be on the rail. So, look, it just didn't work out, but I'm definitely a lot less critical of Bowman's ride and than a lot of others out there, that's for sure, because I think he found the right part of the track and then just didn't get the luck for mine.
I'm assuming, Dave, she'll be one of yours to follow going forward.
Yeah, look, it's hard. I mean, Loz, they're not normally the types that I like to back next time because they're so obvious that they generally go around under the odds. Mm. But I think it definitely looks a very progressive horse that does look hard to beat next time out. So we'll put her in the horses to follow, but a little asterisk there around what price she goes around. Surefire, another obvious one. I thought Catalan was very good on return as well, considering the pattern of the day and a race where they didn't go overly hard in front. I thought she finished off very strongly too. So they were the three for me that I take out of the meeting. But, we're starting to get those really good horses back. I heard you guys talking about the noms for the Wink Stakes this weekend, 15 in there, and shaping up to be a good race. So we get those good horses back. And, of course, a Group 1 with the Wink Stakes this weekend.
And I just got a note from the ATC. The track is soft 7, Davo, so we've got to be getting close to the good range by Saturday.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I just read this morning that I don't know if it's La Nina or El Nina, I always get them mixed up, but the wet weather one anyway is returning to Australia from September through spring and summer, guys. So
awesome.
Oh, thanks for that news.
Can't wait.
Expect another wet 6 months, unfortunately, so enjoy the sunshine while we've got it.
Oh, Can I borrow your solarium number, Clark?
I'm moving. Take me back to Europe.
Yeah, done. Daveo, have a good day, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.